the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
I wish you were here with me. We would have such a good time.
Well, you know what? I'm going to have to confess. I'm actually 76.
Shut the front door.
Shut the front door. Honestly, I've died 5 times. And people say, did you have a facelift? I said, honey, if I had a facelift, I'd look better than Elizabeth Taylor even after she died.
Well, you look a little bit like Liz.
That's what I don't see it really at all.
Oh, well, honey, you are striking, and I am so glad that you are here on the Edge with us, Sherry and Shara. Am I saying your last name correctly?
Sherry and Shara. And it's actually first two names, but they didn't get it, but that's okay.
Wow. Well, Brains, look at here. Look at what has popped in from heaven.
And look what I have.
I know. Do you like it?
Oh, my God. I love it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, I love you, too. I love my Brains, and I'm so glad to have you on the Edge with me. That is so important. Brains, welcome her to the Edge. Now, let me tell you something. I told you I only bring you the brightest and the best on the planet, and I surf the world over to find the most intriguing, interesting stories that will compel you, that will motivate you, and inspire you. And this is one of them. This woman here, Sherry, let me get my notes because I don't want to miss a beat. She has died 5 times, Brains, and come back, okay? 5 times. We're going to talk to her about that. We're going to talk to her about how she sued for alimony. How she made such a great career without a degree and also cellular memory. What is cellular memory? How does it work? How can we apply it in our own lives, and how can we trust it? So Brains, help me welcome her to the Edge, Sherry and Shara. Hi, baby. How are you?
Good. How are you? I'm so grateful to be here.
Oh, yes, you are, and just a wonderful person. Now, who is that cat? What's your cat's name? I see he's always in the picture, or she's always in the picture.
Oh, I have Sweetie Pie, who has no idea she's a cat. And I have Pretty Girl, who absolutely is the queen. I'm not kidding you. She just runs everybody, but they're the sweetest kitties, and they're rescues.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, you know the story, my drama, the coyotes ate my dog.
I know, it's just, oh.
Yeah, so be careful when you're leaving them outside. I mean, you know, it's the circle of life. I'm devastated. I am. He was older, and he was a rescue, too. Yeah. But they say all dogs go to heaven, so. We're hoping that he's
there. My kitties don't go out, but I also have 2 feral kitties that I feed and take care of, and they're spoiled as heck.
Wow. So tell my Brains a little bit about you, your story, and, you know, your recovery. You've got so much to cover.
Well, the big one, the third near death, was my big one. And I've always been a rebel in many ways, though I was pretending to be compliant at times. So I always looked at life differently, even as a child. And my mother always had the statement, where did you come from? Because I believe my siblings that were a lot older were more compliant. But I always had a different perspective of what was going on in life. So in 1991, I was in Connecticut visiting a friend that I'd met at a conference that I hadn't seen in I don't know how many years. And I ended up 40 feet underwater, upside down in the Connecticut River, or 15 feet. The car hit a barrier and went up in the air about 40 feet. That's what they estimated. Turned upside down. I had a broken neck, a broken back, a smashed head. And I love it, a brain out of place, though they didn't know it.
Wow.
And it changed everything. And so with all of these issues in my tissues, in my body, they gave me not really good prognosis. They didn't know what to think. And so it was really out of the box, out of the body, and gone. And so I knew that there had to be something intelligent in our body, more than just our brain. I love my brain. And I teach people
how to use brains too.
I know. And I actually teach people how to use both sides of it.
Wow.
And even though my brain is out of place, I was studied at the University of Arizona, and they said I had one of the most balanced brains that work together. So that was part of the development of cellular memory. And your memory is the perfect you. The memorization is those goofy belief systems. So I'm not wronging it, but I'm going to ask you this. What's the first letter of the word belief?
B.
And the first letter of the word system?
S. I gotcha.
I gotcha. And so I heard a lot of belief systems throughout my life without wronging. This is not judging them, but like, how did they apply to me? What was the application? And really, was it applicable to me? You know, did it work? And so I would look through like, you can't do this. And here's an example. My mother said, when I was 7 years old, I remember it. If you would like one thing, you have to sacrifice another. Does that sound familiar?
Right.
And so I thought, well, that's like getting the hot fudge sundae. You either have the hot fudge or the sundae. So it didn't make sense. So in this experience of having the broken neck and the broken back and the smashed head, you know, I started looking at the body and I thought, you know, if you cut yourself, you don't eat, unless you put an antibiotic, but if you cut yourself, your body heals itself, correct?
Correct.
So I said, so if that can, any part of the body can heal itself, but there has to be something, a code, a way. And that's when I started talking about cellular memory in 1991. And of course the doctors and everybody said, oh, Sherry, you know, take a pill, you'll feel better.
Right.
But it turned out to be the truth because of the transplants. So this caviar and champagne lady got the heart of a beer guzzling motorcycle, beer, you know, guzzling, and she began to love that. It was actually in JAMA. And so then I started being more acceptable to doctors. And when I started writing about this in 1991, I wrote my first book, The Age of Inheritance. And then I'm going to do a plug here. So this is the revised version of it. And it was like 130 some pages. This is over 500. So this is part of that process in Take Back Your Power, you becoming you, so that whatever obstacles, whatever adversities, whatever the happenings are, you actually have the ability to change it.
Okay, so now I need you to dial back because you've given us a great explanation, but I'm still a little at loss with the process. Cellular memory. Okay, so you've had this catastrophic accident and you were rescued from that and you wake up and you find yourself in the hospital and you're going through all of these transitions. What is cellular memory? Now, I know what muscle memory is. I know what past life regression memory is. But what is a cellular memory? Because that's at the nuclear level. How do we tap into that?
Well, actually, I have a book, Getting Your Answers in 10 Minutes. I give it away free off my website at sherryanchara.com. But how you get to it is you have to quiet the brain. So we're not just using one side of the brain. So we actually get to use both sides of the brain. And I actually have a technique that I can show you, and it really works. So cellular memory is all your experiences, your past lives, your body records everything.
Right.
And sometimes the brain will file it in a cabinet, you know, you have like your computer, and have you ever written something or done something, you go, now where did I put it? Where is that file?
Right.
What? And so that's what happens. The brain, in order to process it, will sometimes shove it away and put it in a file cabinet. But the body remembers. And so when we get to that in 10 minutes or less, you begin to have a resolution. Without a resolution, you can't have a solution.
Right. Okay.
And so it's all your experiences, all of your experiences recorded in your body.
But Sherry, how do you tap into a certain area? Say, for example, you have severe back problems. Mm-hmm. How do you connect your cellular memory to work in that specific area? That's the first question.
Mm-hmm.
The second question is, is this a form of meditation? Is this a form of dietary restriction? Is this a form of prayer? Give me a little bit more to chew on.
Okay, it's a form of consciousness. Okay. It's all of it. So this is what we do. So pain in the body is the body's attempt to get our attention. So when we have pain, what do? We take painkillers or pain. I'm not wronging any of that. But if you allow, so say I have a shoulder problem on the right side. This is your male side. This is left is your female. It has nothing to do with gender because I have a lot of male clients. So we'll just start with there as an explanation and an example. So if you have a lot of shoulder pain, say in your right shoulder, shoulders represent responsibility. So this is usually what I ask people. I bet if someone's happy, you're responsible. If someone's miserable, April, you're responsible, right?
No.
Good. But most people say yes, because that's the way their belief systems, they've been trained. So then we find out, when did it start? So I have them connect to it, and I ask them, what does it look like? Don't tell me about the pain. We know it's painful. On a scale of 1 to 10 being the worst, we know where that scale is. They've already told me. And when they fill out my intake sheet with ADD to XYZ, I know exactly where they are in their body. What of the old chakra system, because I teach 13 chakras, but what is it in that chakra system?
13 chakras? I didn't know there was 13 chakras.
Oh yeah, they are. And it's all in your body. And I started writing about it in 1991. That's why this book has the explanation of what it means in how you work. And so part of the shoulder is still connected to the throat. It goes across here. And sometimes I also teach wordology is your biology. Mm-hmm. And so we can get imprinted. So someone, let's say the idea of a first child, and the parent unknowingly says, well, you have to be the role model for the rest of the kids. Now that happens a lot.
Right.
And so they start taking on the responsibility of somebody, whether it's male or female side or both. And you ever see the old people walking around that are like this, and right, they're all bent over because...
Well, I was thinking that was osteoporosis.
I know. Well, that contributes to it. But all disease on this planet, April, all disease is emotionally based.
That's not the first time I've heard that. I'm hearing that more and more and more, is that people are really not tapping into the root cause of their pain. I had a woman do some energy clearing for me, and I was a little skeptical about it, you know, moving energy through the computer, but we are all energy, we are all matter, and it can work. And, you know, there's certain blockages. However, what I found is that it was not long lasting.
Okay. But what I do is.
Right. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is it wasn't long lasting. I don't know if it was because I did not continue that practice and that modality, because, you know, for example, painkillers, you can't just take one and it's healed. You've got to go through the process. You've got to go through the steps. So tell us a little bit about how this is long lasting and how people can use the practice that you give them, even when they're not in your presence.
Because I give them all sorts of tools through my classes, through the individual sessions, and actually 20% of my clients around the world or the United States, I've never met them in person. And they are able to achieve the same goals. And we call it a progressive process. So I'm glad you brought that up. So we can process and process and process, but I'm looking for progressive process. Right. And so we answer this question. I can't change the what until I get to the why. And then the why begins to answer the question. And question means quest at your ion or cellular level, where all your answers are stored. It's how I ask the questions.
Okay, so dial back a little bit. How did you find this? What was your awakening and your aha moment outside of the accident? What led you to find this type of modality and make this your life work in healing people?
Well, number one, I don't heal them. I make them heal themselves. I support them to heal themselves. And how that came to me, and honestly, you know, like some people have a, oh, I'm going to heal the world. I never had that, honestly. I never had that. It was all about me, all about moi. And so when I heard the prognosis of what was going to be my life, I said, no, that is not going to happen to me. I don't know what is going to happen, but that is not going to happen to me. That is somebody's belief system. And then when they told me I had to take painkillers, all I could hear was the word killer. I'm not going to put a killer in my body. So I started very quietly listening. See, you can hear up here, but you listen to your heart.
Right.
And your heart is actually the most expanded resonance in the body. Not because I said so, but because they've researched it.
Right.
And so I started being really quiet, not even meditating, being really clear and conscious, and ask my body, why did I create this? I can't change this what of this accident. I can't change the what of the broken back. But if I find out why, I can make the changes.
But see, you know, suppressed pain, I get, you know, long-term pain. But when this is caused by an outside influence, that's where you really have to do the work. Yours was due to a catastrophic accident. So, you know, I'm trying to figure out how that connects and weaves into something that might have been suppressed from your childhood or abuse, or I can't connect the dots there.
Okay, so I didn't have any abuse. I was very fortunate. However, I would look at the system and the system would drive me crazy because I was always looking for the facts. I was always very curious. Like, how did this happen? And I always was interested in history. How did somebody in their time frame overcome what was going on around them? Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
I read every kind of history you can imagine. I read Jewish history. I read Black history. I read Native American history. I read white history. I read Russian history. And what I found is that when we go along with someone who tells us this is not who we are, I knew I was onto something. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I knew that there are all these different individuals that we know about, but how many of the individuals that we don't know about that have overcome adversity in whatever way, shape, or form it is? They had to have something inside of them that overcame everything outside of them. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Whether, and to me, there's no accidents in this world. There are no accidents. And then I discovered why I created this experience. So in the In and Out Burger that I call myself, I remember at 5 years old or 6 years old, the priest, not wronging anybody, saying to us that we were born to die. Somehow that stuck in me.
Right.
But so where I work with individuals, excuse me, is in the unconscious. So your body's like a house. Your computer brain is like the closet, the garage, the attic, the basement. You know you have to clean it out and it's there. But the unconscious, April, is where everything is.
I said 95% is unconscious mind, and people don't even tap into that.
And that's what I do.
But you said something that sparked my interest. You said adversity. You've had some pretty good challenges in your life, and you're a very smart cookie. You've got 5 books, and you're a woman without a degree. How has that shifted you in your life and, you know, the deliverables that you've had in your corporate world and your business sense? How has that helped you, or how has it hindered you?
Well, I would say it more helped me than hindered me. And the reason is I've always had this motto. My motto is no matter what. And so when I became VP of marketing of a national company without a college degree in the 80s, it never occurred to me that I couldn't. And I was very clear about intentions of how this would be. So when I showed up in Arizona in 97, I moved to Scottsdale, Arizona, please, with my last $50.
Wow.
And didn't really know anybody, and all these afflictions inside, but nobody could see it on the outside. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It was all this stuff that I was working. And I just thought, you know what? I had to get out of Dodge from where I live, not wronging it. And this is not a judgment. I had to do this for me. And so that was extreme, but we don't have to do what I did. But that was my extremeness. And so I moved to Scottsdale, Arizona with the motto, no matter what, and started all over again. And I went back into the corporate world. I, you know, started doing what I was doing. I started taking courses. I did everything I could to give me the tools so that I could teach the tools that I learned about myself to other people. So I'm going to share an experience with you. So now I'm in Michigan. That's where I was from. April, I'd lost everything. I had lost everything. This is a woman who had been sued for alimony. Mm. We used to fly her own airplane. Does that make sense? Wow. So because of this, I lost everything. Within 5 years of my divorce, I had bought a beautiful home on track to pay it off with a 15-year mortgage. Now tell me, how many people did that?
Not many.
I know. And I was already 5 years into the into that process. So I only had 10 more years. And it was a beautiful home, an acre of land with a pool and four levels. I was like heaven on earth. And then I have this accident that I created and lost everything. But this is the funny, now I become homeless. I'm homeless, but I did it beautifully. So I moved into a friend's house and then another friend's house. But this will make you laugh. Now this is 1991. Now we'll fast forward a few years to 1996. And now I am homeless, living in other people's houses, right? And this will make you laugh. 8 women came into my life that didn't really know each other. And they said, would you teach us something you know? And I burst out laughing and I said, and I'm going to say this in a kind way, you must be stupid. You're asking me to teach you something when my entire life fell apart? They said, well, there's something different about you. So I said, after they convinced me, I said, okay, I'll teach something for 8 weeks. April, I had no idea what I was going to teach them, but I was writing this book. I was writing my first book and it explained everything. The class lasted 13 months.
Wow.
Every week they came. And every week this incredible information came out of me. And then I moved to Arizona. So now I have a book that no one will publish. I have this course that I created called Intuitive Powers Practical Applications that I teach to this day. And I created my foundation because of these 8 women, and 8 is my lucky number.
Wow. 8 is a powerful number. So all of this, you want to influence and you want to change and you want to motivate and inspire. What do you want my brains to take away from this conversation?
That when they believe in themselves, totally at the cellular level, that is when practical miracles happen. That is when they utilize this beautiful intelligence and intellect in their body, and they've got both sides of those brains, that creative and that organizational side, working together, and that there isn't anything they can't overcome. I've had clients get rid of stage 4 cancer with a few months to live. I have had people live a productive life when they were diagnosed with Parkinson's or MS. I have worked with business people and their businesses have flourished. And one of my clients that's in Arizona, I worked with an entire staff. They even created a quote meditation healing room in their building for their employees, and their business doubled and tripled.
Wow. You know, again, it is what the mind can conceive, you really can achieve if you put your back into it, okay?
Yes.
Do you have your books there? We want to see copies of your books so that my brains can get in contact with you. All of them are able to be purchased directly from you as well as on Amazon, correct?
Correct. And this book, this is Take Back Your Power. I have to brag about this in many ways. But the interesting part about it is I was on LinkedIn and somebody on LinkedIn, now this is business, correct? This is a business. And this lady messaged me on LinkedIn and she said, Sherry, I don't know, I found your book called Take Back Your Power. She said, you wrote it, you're speaking to me. Wow. Then I got 3 letters from a gentleman in a federal prison on the East Coast who had my book. I don't know how he got it. I've written back, sent him my other one. And he said, I didn't always agree with you. He goes, but thank you. He said, even my cellmates love your book.
Wow.
And this is a federal prison, so you know they must have done something crazy. You know what I mean? But he took.
I don't know. There's some white collar crime in there too. Real smart people.
Oh yeah, exactly. But I just thought that was so beautiful that he took the time to write to me.
He did. He did. And well, again, with all due respect, he don't have nothing but time. But
exactly.
What I think is the most brilliant thing is that he found you. And there's, you know, there's a lot of books, there's a lot of people, but your message actually called to him, spoke to him, that whether he totally agreed or disagreed, he was willing to be open enough to share that experience and let you in and to have that dialogue and to have that process in his brain. Now, you know, I call my listeners brains for a very specific reason, Sherry. It's because I'm talking to smart people, people that know how to edit and filter information, that come to agree or disagree and yet not be disagreeable. That's what we do here on The Edge. And I thank you so much for being a part of this process. You are a brilliant woman. You are an overcomer. I look at you, and again, I see the radiance of Elizabeth Taylor exuding out of your pores. I'm so glad that you are healed. Those other life threatening experiences didn't have an impact on you, but did raise your game another level. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you if they want to purchase a book or if they want to do some deep diving.
I will do that. Can I share one other book really quick?
Absolutely.
This is The Intelligence Code.
Oh yeah, hold it there so we can see it. Let me get it. Put it on the other side. I got a little bit of a yes. Pull it up a little bit. Up. Right. Okay. Good. It's blocking.
This was written by 14 of my clients.
Oh, wow. So it's an anthology?
Yeah. They wrote their experiences. This was not to be a testimonial, but, and it was under my old branding, Quantum Pathic, but the beauty of it is it's how it changed their lives. And there's a gal in there, a hairdresser that was in a depressed area that wasn't making anything. And this year she's on track for about 80 grand.
Wow.
From 13.
Wow.
But there's famous doctors in here, but it's not about that. It's because we're all people. So how they can get a hold. And by the way, if they go to my website, it's sherryanshara.com. And it's S-H-E-R-R-Y-A-N-S-H-A-R-A, sherryanshara.com. They can get my free ebook, Getting Your Answers in 10 Minutes. And they can also schedule a free, it's a complimentary 10-minute session with me.
Well, Brains, I want you to take full on advantage of all of that. I mean, because this is a person that has met death head on, okay? And then has seen the other side and come out glorious and decide to stay. You know, sometimes we can opt to check out. I don't want you to check out. I want you to continue to check in here on The Edge. Don't just follow me. Don't just watch, but subscribe. I'm telling you, I got ongoing greatness everywhere. People like Sherry and other great thought leaders, innovators, and game changers. Thank you so much, Sherry Anshara. Please come back and visit us. Keep us abreast of what's going on. We do things called podcast potlucks. I'm going to bring in some real hard chargers, and we're going to have a round table session and really kind of wrap this up, you know, before the end of the year, maybe the first of next year, to get our butts in order. Because again, tapping into that subconscious mind is powerful. Don't be afraid, Brains. There's 95% of you that you don't even know who you are. Am I right?
I love it, and I'd love to be part. I love that. Podcast potlucks. I love it.
Yeah.
And I'll give you my phone number. It's 480. I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona. 480-609-0874. And I would be delighted to talk to anyone. I love it. You know what, April? Thank you. Thank you for being who you are. I honor you. From my heart to your heart. And I call it in heartness, allness, the allness of you and me in the connectedness.
Well, we are connected at the hip now and at the brain. Thank you so much for being here on The Edge. Brains, I want you to have an amazing day. I'm counting on you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.